Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very wonderful. How are you doing?
Good. It's superb.
Superb is good. Michelle, how are you? What's going on?
Living the dream over here, guys.
I don't know if I believe either one of you.
This all sounds very disingenuous.
Guess you'll never know.
Guess not. For the record, I'm actually doing great.
Good.
Thank you. It's a big day here on the program. The return of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy League is upon us. The Fantasy Football League was a rousing success last year, especially en route to my inaugural championship that was won last year. And today we're going to fire that thing up again. We're going to have a fantasy football trivia question that we're going to throw out there in the 8 o'clock hour. And if you get it right, you will win one of 8 spots in our fantasy football league. So it'll be on the text line. The first person to correctly guess said trivia question will win a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Joe, it's a tremendous honor, and I know there's great excitement out there for it from our Robbie and Rex Road listenership.
Well, I'm a little worried about crashing the system, whatever. I mean, you know, the text line, social media, the internet, you know, I mean, that's the only concern I have is hundreds of thousands of people trying to get one of these spots. But, yeah, looking forward to it. And you're running the show. So last year we did show trivia. This year we're doing fantasy football trivia.
Well, it's going to be different trivia questions. We're going to have different categories throughout the course of the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So going to keep people on their toes.
Flexibility.
Yeah, keep people on their toes a little bit, and you're going to earn some spots in the Fantasy Football League this year. 4 spots are spoken for. Myself, Michelle, Joe, and Brennan Rexrode have spots spoken for. So it'll be a 12-team league, but 8 teams are open to our listeners. So very much looking forward to that. We'll get to that a little bit later today here in the program. Paul Kaharsky dropping by at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. Bob Kravitz from The Athletic at 9 to discuss the Indianapolis Colts. We had a lot of passionate discussion yesterday on the text line about the Indianapolis Colts. So looking forward to more of that coming up at 9 o'clock. Joe, before we get into the Titans, I went down this internet rabbit hole yesterday trying to do a little independent research with Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals coming in this week. And I went down this rabbit hole of this Reddit theory that has been put together of the correlation between Kyler Murray's performance on the field and when they open up Call of Duty for double XP, which is experience points. There's your normal amount of experience points that you can normally get for playing Call of Duty, but they'd have different periods of time where you can get double XP, and the results that these people on Reddit have found out are astounding. Not only do his individual statistics drop when double XP is available, but their team win-loss total is drastically different. They're much worse when Call of Duty is having double XP. So the resounding theory from these people on Reddit on Kyler Murray is not only is Kyler Murray and his performance suffering when double XP is taking place on Call of Duty, but I guess he's dragging his teammates along with him, and the whole team is suffering when Call of Duty goes through some double XP. So not a good sign for the Arizona Cardinals this year when that comes about.
So you found this on Reddit?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Because I would be very interested to see, you know, this research.
I mean, graphs and everything.
Well, send me some links because I really want to read this. And I feel like, I mean, of all the stupid crap that's on the internet, in fact, there's some stupid crap about me on the internet. Actually, not about me, but citing me yesterday that's completely it's this NBC Sports Edge stuff. We can get into that later. But like, of all the crap that's on the internet, this to me, it's like, how is this not on, like, you know, Bleacher Report? So I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Like this is fascinating. If there's actually any truth to this,
I hope there is.
I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it seems too good to be true that it would actually totally correlate with this stuff.
Well, it could be a total coincidence, but I'm going to pretend like it's not. I'm going to pretend that it's a direct correlation to his performance on the field.
That's just incredible. Incredible. And I guess, hey, if that's what it is, then I guess I get the contract.
Yeah. Hey, that's why you listen.
I wouldn't have leaked it publicly, but, you know.
Probably not. That's why you listen to this program. We do the deep dive of the research that really is what the people want to hear. So we'll get to more of that a little bit later here today on the show. Joe, it's interesting because the moment the Cincinnati game in the playoffs last year ended for the Titans, obviously, Ryan Tannehill was the popular topic of conversation for about 4 months after that. But along with that, you know, not quite as much as Tannehill, a whole lot of discussion about Todd Downing as well and his role with this Titans team. A lot of people wanted Todd Downing out. He is not out. He is back again this year for the offensive coordinator position. But it is a little bit of a different dynamic with Tim Kelly coming in. So we know what the personnel is. We know what the receiving room, for the most part, is going to look like heading into this season. So now that there's a little bit more clarity on the roster, what it could be and what it currently is, now just a couple of weeks away from week one of the season, how do you view Todd Downing heading into this year? And what would, at the end of the day, be a success for Todd Downing this year, knowing everything that we know about this team, this roster, and some of the concerns on the offensive side of the football?
Well, I think with any question of success in coaching, it still really is the bottom line. It's like with John Robinson, we talk about this pick or that pick and the offensive line trend and all that stuff. But if they have a really good year again, then John Robinson's, you know, that means he's done a lot of other good things to build a team that keeps winning. I think for Todd Downing, it's winning, but it's such a different dynamic. Last year, we were talking about his 1 year as OC, which a lot of Raiders fans and some media blamed him for. But objectively, you could look at that season for the Raiders and find a whole bunch of issues that didn't have anything to do with him. So now it's like, well, you don't screw up this Ferrari that you're driving, and you know, it was not a Ferrari. You know, it kind of looked like one, but it had a lot of parts that were, messed up. And also, I don't think he had a great year, but how do you cut that up? You know, it's hard to know. So this year, I think Ryan Tannehill's performance is a huge part of it. Of course, huge part of the evaluation of Todd Downing. He is much easier. It will be much easier for him to exceed expectations this year. We're going into the season not knowing exactly how good the receiving core is, knowing A.J. Brown's gone, knowing the offensive line is a huge concern. After last year, it took a big dip in performance, as almost everyone can understand and acknowledge in the world who watches football and reads stats. So, but then of course you have the Tim Kelly factor there too. And I think it's going to be a very different deal this year than it was with Jim Schwartz last year. And it still got brought up last year with Jim Schwartz and Shane Bowen. But this year, I think, if things really look a lot better, a lot of people are going to want to give Tim Kelly a pretty good share of that credit too. But the bottom line is at least Todd Downing will continue to be able to be an OC, continue to be an OC in the league.
Well, and that's Tim Kelly and his addition to this staff is a really interesting part of this to me, because if you remember, I mean, I think it was put out there that the Titans wanted to interview him a couple of years ago before they hired Todd Downing, and the Texans blocked that. And now that Tim Kelly is here and is in there, I mean, obviously Vrabel likes him. Like, I think there's pressure on Todd Downing with that in there anyway of, you know, if the offense isn't running the way that Vrabel wants it to be run, you know, is there a point at the end of this year where Vrabel could just look around and say, you know what, they got to feel better with Tim Kelly being the offensive coordinator heading into next year. Like, that to me is what makes this dynamic with Tim Kelly, I think, significantly different than the one with Jim Schwartz to Shane Bowen from last year. Because I could actually see Vrabel doing that. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I do. And that's just not just based on guesswork. It's based on what you just said. He may well have been the OC, you know, had that not happened. He may have been the first choice. We know that Vrabel loves to promote internally, but also that he loves to hire Houston coaches, you know. I mean, he likes to go with what he knows and who he trusts. So, yeah, it is different. Now, look, maybe Jim Schwartz, at some point, Jim Schwartz wants to be a DC again, be a head coach again someday and go all in and maybe that could happen here too, I guess, in theory. But it seems like it's what it is with him. With Kelly, it does seem different for sure. So, but for the Titans and Titans fans, what you hope is that Kelly is a really valuable voice and that they work great together and that hire helps. I mean, Jim Schwartz must have helped in some way, right?
I think,
you know, how much the Titans would never, you know, Vrabel would never want to say. I don't think it's hugely, but I think this year it's just, I'm sorry, but the title alone is just, like it or not, I mean, I've been told that's agent crap. Okay, and that's fine, but when the Titans, as you just pointed out, have tried to look at him as OC, it seems like more than that.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Todd Downing and this offensive staff coming up next. Let me tell you, speaking of fantasy football, about my friends at Twin Peaks. They'll hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. And when you're not on the clock, you can relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers or order for the whole team with a lot of different great food items as well. Shareables like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of great boneless wings. Call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. Once again, that's 615-221-0869. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans and taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So we're discussing Todd Downing as offensive coordinator. What would make for a successful season for Todd Downing this year? Joe, I'm interested, as you watched him last year, what were some things that you think were concerning about his role as offensive coordinator last year, and what would you like to see done differently with this Titans offense this year? Is there been anything that stood out to you in camp with that regard thus far?
Well, before I answer that, I'd just like to thank you for that rabbit hole of Kyler Murray.
Oh, you're welcome.
That's incredible. I didn't know, like, the Washington Post wrote about it. And, these are some serious charts and graphs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got the blobs, you got the charts and graphs, you got the graphics, the picture. I mean, it's the internet, man. It can be just a horrific, horrific place, but sometimes it can be beautiful.
Yes, it can.
my gosh. As for Todd Downing, I think that, we've talked about this, but I think the clear difference in what I'm seeing is the Titans going downfield. It seems to be a priority. It seems to be something that they really have wanted to explore in different ways. And not that they never did last year, but I think that we're going to see that. I can't imagine at this point this much practice with Tannehill just taking shots like he has, and that not be a little bit more apparent in the offensive, game plan and regular rotation this year. Also, we've talked about this too, but two tight ends. I think the Titans will go back to doing that more often. Will they be back, among the highest in the league in two tight end formation? I don't know about that, but I think last year they went to 11 a lot more. We thought they would. They did, and that fit the personnel too. And now they've gone back to, I think, understanding like you've got to have a lot of tight ends, although they may only have three, but you've got to have at least a rotation of tight ends where you feel like you can run two tight end sets. I still don't know with Chigakonkwo, like how much he'll play or how comfortable they are with him in any situation, but I'm pretty confident that he's going to be, used in some situations. But I think those are the two big things. I think you're going to see all the same running plays, the bread and butter. You're going to see play action off the running plays. And you hope to not see things like the Cincinnati game where the first play of the game, you serve it up. Tannehill can't throw it, but you still, the way that play was designed, served it up to the Bengals. And then the second pick of the game was something the Titans do a lot and were predictable with, and the Bengals completely read. I mean, those two things right there, they're Tannehill picks. They're also, they have to be shared somewhat by Todd Downing.
When I hear the Titans are going more vertical, maybe more often so far in camp, I think that's, if you're a Titans fan, I think that's exciting. I also look around and I say, okay, so we've talked a lot about the offensive line maybe being the number one concern of this team. You're going to need to have some good pass protection if you're going to take some more shots down the field. Now, look, it's not like they're going to drop back every third play and throw 55-yard bombs all over the field. I understand that. But, I mean, that is the one thing about going vertical and maybe pushing the ball down the field a little deeper more often. That requires you to protect the quarterback for a little bit longer to allow these routes to develop. And that's going to be an interesting part, especially early on in the season, to see if we see some of those deep shots that you're talking about based on what the protection for the quarterback looks like.
Yeah, and look, I think a lot of them, most of them, will be off play action. So if you're effective running the ball, that's where stuff like that is more effective. So that's a huge part of this. Well, like, any question related to any personnel or coach in the offense, to me, it's gonna eventually wind back to that. Okay, so is this going to be a good run blocking team with a new right tackle and with no Saffold and with Brewer in his place? And then, of course, like you just said, I mean, pass protection, you can't, it's hard to take shots, if you can't set up. I'm trying to think, was it the first play at Pittsburgh? Was that the protection broke down, right? Or Altulio Jones walks in with a touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah. For example. So, it's critical. And so we'll see. And look, it is still practice. I mean, there's different situations where we're seeing these things too. It's like when you got 7-on-7, I mean, that's a little different to me because it's just like it just routes against DBs. And so maybe Tannehill just like wants to work on that. Maybe in his mind, he's just like, I want to work on that deep ball a little more. But I just feel like even in team, they've had some really good situations. We've seen with Burks that I think they feel like, you can throw it up to him. You just can't throw it like short and inside like Woodside did the other night, Give him a chance to go get it, and you like his chances, but then also Racy McMath again. Racy McMath had a stretch there where he was getting behind people left and right. And I am convinced that we will see that some this season, that we see the Titans try to utilize that for sure.
Well,
we'll see if it's successful.
It's interesting to me because the discussion on Todd Downing, I feel like, is not quite as loud as the discussion on Shane Bowen was entering into last year. I mean, Shane Bowen, we know it in 2020, that defense was abysmal. And there was the whole title situation going back and forth with Vrabel. I mean, we were talking this time last year about Shane Bowen. You know, we had people calling in asking if Jim Schwartz is going to take over by like week three. So it's not quite the same, you know, situation. They weren't that bad offensively last year with Todd Downing, but it is the same from the standpoint of like there were still people at the end of last year, and we talked about this a ton with people on the text line, people calling in, where the defense finally got to a point where you felt great about it, and they were like, man, that Jim Schwartz has come in. He's just really lit a fire under that defense. Like, I feel like if the offense exceeds expectations this year, people are going to look around and say, man, that Tim Kelly's coming in there, and he's just changed what this offense looks like. And look, maybe there's some truth to it with Tim Kelly. I don't know. But that's the similarity to me. But it's interesting that, you know, they're in a similar spot from the standpoint of a coach comes in, if they do well, I mean, maybe some of the credit goes away from them in the case of Todd Downing or Shane Bowen, but I still don't think the noise on Todd Downing entering this year is anywhere near what we saw for Bowen last year from the fan base.
I think you're right. I think there's also a difference between OC and DC in terms of, obviously, both are hugely important, but defense is still reacting to what you're seeing, right? I mean, you can call a defense, call a blitz here and there and hope you get it right, whatever. But really, defense is reacting to what you see. It's effort. And last year, what we saw was we just saw a whole bunch more winning by individual players to get into the backfield, right?
Yeah.
So, and like, still, it was a huge redemptive year for Shane Bowen. But offensive coordinator is, I mean, to me, it's the most blamed or scrutinized coaching situation in sports because it's every single thing you call, we know what you call because we get to see your offensive play, you know? Yeah. And so I feel like this year, I think you're right going in, but I think if it's bad, see, the thing is, it's like you have the Tannehill factor and you have the offensive line factor, and those are things that are not in his control. Although the Tannehill factor, I think, has to be tied to him some, right? The Tannehill played so well with Arthur Smith as his OC. If he plays poorly again this year, or, you know, like not as well as he did his first 2 years again, markedly, then like how could you not look at that partnership? But I also think that, yes, the Jim Schwartz questions happened here and there last year, like media-wise, and Vrabel swatted them away. But this year, if they look way different in the passing game, is just more effective without AJ Brown, you know, then I think that there's going to be a lot more impulse to give Tim Kelly credit.
Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Downing probably needs at least 4 hours of study a week to improve. Well done, Liam.
Nice. Nice job. Nice job.
Kyler can show him how this week, starting today.
Yes, Kyler is there.
Yes, he
is. Kyler's in town. Good look for the Titans.
It is a good look. Good look for the Titans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, some pretty strong comments once again yesterday by Trevor Maddich on Stillman and Company on what he saw from Dylan Radins and the right tackle position for the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are your racing station, 1025-1063. The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Saturday at 5 o'clock for the Coke Zero Sugar 400. NASCAR 1025-1063. The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 1025-1063. The Game, talking Titans and welcoming your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. So, Joe, last week we discussed some pretty strong comments from Trevor Maddich on Dylan Raidens and his performance in the Baltimore game, including, you know, a couple of just illustrations by Maddich of what he saw at the line of scrimmage and how much Raidens was struggling in pass protection. Well, he joined Jared's Stillman Company yesterday with Jared and Caroline and had some more strong comments on Dylan Raidens and the right tackle position as a whole for the Titans after two preseason games in the books. Here's what Trevor Maddich had to say on Dylan Raidens yesterday on Stillman and Company.
Your thoughts on Dylan Raidens' performance?
Oh, my gosh. Overall, you know, Malik Willis, certainly in the first half, didn't have any time to throw. And even Logan Woodside, of course, that was a different group of people and everything else, didn't have time either. But overall, that offensive line just got shredded in pass protection. And when you watch individually Dylan Raidens, in this game, you can make a case that he did a little bit better because there were fewer times when he just whiffed. He whiffed a couple of times. One of them was turned into one of Malik Willis's best throws, where Willis had pressure. He stepped up and threw the ball kind of sidearm on a rope and completed the pass. It was a really nice, I think it was to Dez. It was a really nice throw. But one of the reasons he had to do that was because Raidens let his guy come inside and just blasted right past him. It was just awful. But even when he was in front of guys, unlike Petit Ferrer, who seemed to hold his own physically, Raidens, even when he seems to win a pass protection rep, gets tossed around, and he's hanging on for dear life. It's like a little bitty dog grabs onto a much bigger animal and holds on while that animal's, you know, like a bulldog, say, grabs onto a bull, and the bull's just flopping him every which way. Well, you know, in the NFL, you just can't be doing that, because when you get tossed around like Ravens tends to, you're using 100% of your capability physically just to not get pushed back on roller skates, and that opens the door for all kinds of moves from the better NFL pass rushers.
So that was Trevor Maddich yesterday on Stillman and Company with a pretty eye-opening illustration of Dylan Raidens, I thought. What did you make of that, and what do you think that means for Raidens as a whole as they move forward? I mean, D-Mace said yesterday that maybe he shouldn't even make the 53-man roster on the Titans. What do you make of what we just heard from Trevor Maddich on Dylan Raidens?
Well, yeah, I mean, I disagree with stuff like he's not going to make the team. I mean, he's still clearly in the top three of offensive tackles on the team. I think that's clear. Maybe one of these young guys, maybe like a McKenzie, can get better, and who knows, but I think it goes along with kind of the naked eye. It's interesting that Maddich said, you know, somebody else had a study of Raidens, and it was like, and I apologize for not remembering who it was. Let's just call it the internet, who basically said, like, if you took out three snaps, you know, actually, like, most of it was fine. It's just that, like, those snaps were so – if it's, like, everybody in the stadium and on TV and in the press box is all saying the same thing, it's like, oh, God, Raidens.
Yeah.
You know, then that's not great for you. And if you have three, four of those in a game on a Sunday, then that can swing an outcome. Look, the Titans have said – I think the Titans have said everything with what they've done. So, to me, it's – right now, he's the swing tackle until further notice. And that will come down to whether they find someone out there who they who gets cut, or, well, the Patriots are trading Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah,
you know, so you got that out there if you want to get into that, which I don't think the Titans will, and I don't think the Titans should. But either that, or he's or Raidens is probably in the. I mean, look, he's still top. I mean, he's top six. Congratulations, Dylan Raidens. You're top six. It's a five-man offensive line, but you're top six. So he's I guess, the swing guard or the swing tackle or both. I mean, he'll be around, but that's I think, what he's going to be. He's going to be a utility guy who provides depth.
So how are you handling him the rest of the preseason? I mean, they just moved him inside the other day, and, you know, I'm interested to see if that continues this week as they go through practice here. But how are you if he's not going to be the starting right tackle, you moved him inside, I guess, to get a look at him there the other day. Are you just shuffling him back and forth the rest of the preseason? Like, what are you doing with Dylan Radins from a rep standpoint as you get through the rest of the preseason here?
Yeah, it's a great question. I could make the I could see the case for even, you know, he got some, apparently, you know, some left tackle reps. I could see the case for giving him more of those and seeing if this whole left side, right side thing makes a big difference. And maybe, you know, maybe you feel like he could at least, you feel a little bit better about him if Luan goes down, you know, popping him in, which of course they had to do last year, the one game. So that's a great question, though. That it seems like you'd probably want to give him some more reps inside, you know, to see how he can do there. You got to give him reps somewhere. I guess you don't have to, but they will. Again, he's still like we talk about him like this because he's a second round pick, and it's pretty clear now that he's not going to live up to that. And when you're a second round pick, when you're a high pick, it's just, you know, you're just going to be talked about way more. And so that's just part of the deal. But he's still like, he's serviceable relative to a lot of, you know, a lot of guys who are right around that fringe of starting and backing up. And it's also like, you know, he could still in theory continue to improve. But when you have this full off season, knowing what you want to do, have all the priorities, you got the strength coach, you got the offensive line coach, and everybody's poured all this into you, and they've given you all this opportunity, and they've come away, and you just you're not good enough. I mean, like, I don't think the Titans are gonna like bail completely, because you still want to get something out of your second round pick, but it's probably going to be getting something if and when someone gets hurt.
Well, I feel like there's been, I guess, kind of a, not from everybody, but from a lot of Titans fans this week, I've seen a, well, you're just kind of washing your hands of Dylan Radins. And I've said it, like, I don't think, I've already said, I don't think he's ever going to live up to being a second round pick. He's just, that trajectory to me just seems borderline unrealistic at the moment. So, I mean, I recognize he can improve, and maybe he'll continue to do that and be serviceable. But I also, Joe, unless the picture changes with this offensive line moving forward here, like, he's still going to have to play. Like, I think he may not be the starter, but number one, we talked about this yesterday, how often do you see a team just stay completely healthy on the offensive line all season long? Doesn't happen very often. And I feel like at some point, whether it's early, whether it's in the middle of the year, late in the year, whenever it is, like, Dylan Radins may be called upon to play. Like you said, I mean, you've got him in the top six right now, the offensive lineman. There are just five spots available at the moment. Like, he's probably going to have to play at some point this year. So it's important that if and when he's in there, he can hold his own. And from what I'm hearing from Trevor Maddich the last couple of weeks, it just sounds like it's repeatedly very poor from Dylan Radins. And albeit, you know, Trevor Maddich knows way more of what he's talking about on the offensive line than I do. I am not an offensive line evaluator. It does not give me confidence that Dylan Radins, at least me thinking right now, knowing that he's probably going to have to play at some point, and what that's matching up with Trevor Maddich and what he's saying there. It's not good.
No. And some of the question on the reps, too, like, could have something to do, like Jamarco Jones, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, who, again, right now to me does not look like a good pickup for the Titans. But, you know, do they feel okay with him? I mean, he hasn't competed with Aaron Brewer at all for the spot. I would think they'd feel better about Dylan Radins as the next guard over Jamarco Jones instantly, you know, but I don't know. If they do, then I think that's part of your answer. And look, Ben Jones, tremendous job every year getting himself ready to get out there on a Sunday, but it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that he would miss a couple games this year, in which case I think Brewer, it could be Corey Levin. Corey Levin, I think, has a good chance to make the team, but I would think there'd be a decent chance that Brewer would slide over to center.
Yeah.
I think there's a decent chance that Brewer is the center of the future for the Titans, and in that case, there you go. You know, it's probably Radins. So that's probably it just makes sense to get him more reps there. But see, I say that, and then it's like, okay, then who is the swing tackle? Then who is the third tackle that has to be ready either side to pop in a pinch? I think it's got to be him. So maybe is it worth a second round pick to have a super, super versatile backup?
Nope.
Nope. I guess not.
615.
Maybe that's what he'll be.
615-737-1025. Got an interesting question from Liam on the text line. We'll get to coming up next. We'll also get to more of Trevor Madge's thoughts on Nicholas Petit-Frere as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Titans' offensive line and especially the right tackle position. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Liam on the text line says, so what is the biggest issue for Raidens? Was Kaharski on the right track? And its lack of focus and drive? Is it size, college competition level? Why did J-Rob seemingly whiff again on right tackle? And does Vrabel have the authority to hire an offensive line talent evaluator to help J-Rob? This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Well, first of all, is this what Kaharski – I remember, you know, we had a lot of fun with Kaharski. He's like, I want you to say you want this job, Denon, right? Did Kaharski actually say it's lack of focus and drive? I don't know, but I don't remember the focus at all. Let me just say, if personality is the problem here, and I understand that we all have a central casting idea of what a football player should be, especially an offensive lineman. Well, then Nicholas Petit-Frere is also, you know, that's going to be a problem because he's a quiet. I mean, Raidens was talking a couple weeks ago about how he's had to get, you know, Petit-Frere to talk, the quiet intellectual rookie, you know, and again, like, we talked about this yesterday. Dennis Kelly, Jack Conklin, these guys have been effective. If you're good at your job, you're good at your job. Dylan Raiden's put in a ton of work. He was better physically. You know, I think that is, you know, he's a little bit undersized. I think college competition level,
I think on the line of scrimmage, college competition level is it, when we start talking about North Dakota State.
Playing in the SEC.
Went full robo. Michelle's lost it.
Full robo, Joe.
Behind the glass. But going back to, like, you know, I remember when he got drafted, we were talking about the North Dakota State part of this on the line of scrimmage. Like, to me, you know, you're going to see skill players left and right. Like, Carson Wentz went to a smaller college. You know, there's receivers left and right that go to small colleges. I mean, Steve McNair went to Alcorn State. So it's not like you can't go to a smaller level college and be an effective player in the NFL. I do think the offensive line and the defensive line, I pay a little bit more attention to that because just – I mean, the quality of competition that you're going up against is just not anywhere near close to the same that you're going to see in the Big Ten or the SEC. And how does that translate to the NFL? It's not every time. You could find examples of guys that played smaller level college football on the offensive and defensive lines, and they've come in and they've had nice careers in the NFL. But I do think it's a little bit more telling on the line of scrimmage at those smaller schools than it is maybe elsewhere in other positions.
Yeah. No, I was basically making the same point when whatever the hell happened with my Wi-Fi. So, yeah, like, you get to see someone block SEC players, you know, guys you know are going to be in the NFL every week. That just, yeah, so much more. You have so much more film that is of value to you. But, you know, Raidens went to the – I mean, I think Raidens at the Senior Bowl, right? I believe he was. It's not like the Titans had some – you know, the Titans didn't wait – differently evaluate Raidens.
No.
I don't believe, right? I mean, I believe Raidens was slotted to be a second or third round pick. In fact, I'll go back. I will go find Brugler from last year and what he thought about Raidens and what, and again, Brugler, who I think is the best, and yes, I'm biased, but people who do things like that, they're not doing it just because they watch the film. They watch the film to be able to write details about the player, but largely that is conversations with scouts and people. And you know, when to keep that in mind too, look, there's misinformation around the draft, but with people who do these volume evaluations of people in the draft, they have plenty of people they trust who aren't going to try to, you know, like sometimes you have people trying to tilt the game a little bit, you know, through media, but that doesn't happen with this stuff, you know, because they know that so many different people are talking to these popular view, like Caleb Farley. There are some teams, as we know, that were like, hell no, not getting on that.
Yeah.
But Raidens went in the neighborhood of where people thought he would go. And he just, I mean, look, all these questions are fair, Liam. Bottom line is the Titans whiffed. They missed. And I think it probably is Robbie's, like, I think that's where you have to be more wary, is that in the line of scrimmage with the competition level, because you can, you know, quarterbacks and skill guys, there's plenty of success stories from smaller level college football, and it's just easier to evaluate those guys. The big guys, you really want them to be on a regular basis having to block other top-notch big guys, or trying to not be blocked by those guys.
No question about it. So if it's going to be Petit Frere, what exactly does that mean for the Titans as they get closer and closer to week one against the Giants? Well, Trevor Maddich talked about that yesterday as well on Stillman & Company. Here's what Trevor Maddich had to say.
If Mike Vrabel told you, Trevor, I am going to put Nicholas Petit Frere at right tackle, I'm going to let him learn on the job, and we've got Von Miller in week two and Max Crosby or Chandler Jones with the Raiders in week three, what would you say to Mike Vrabel?
Run the ball. Run the ball, because he'd still be in trouble over there against those guys. Really, really, you know, veteran NFL tackles have trouble against those guys. But because of the nature of this offense and pounding it downhill, really the best way to slow down a pass rusher is to run the ball right at him. Mm-hmm. And Petit Frere is a guy that can swallow up one of those pass rushers that needs to hold his gap. I mean, when you're running the ball at a guy like that, he can't run around the block, because he'll end up creating a hole just because he ran around the block. And so you got to take on the blocker, so that helps. Raidens, same way, by the way, because he as a run blocker, shows more promise than he does as a pass blocker. But if it's Petit Frere, this is your question, to be the starter and have to face those guys early in the season, then, you know, if the running game doesn't work, they're in a whole lot of trouble, because then they will have to take somebody out of the pass pattern. They'll have to put a tight end over there. They'll have to chip. They'll have to do something to give him support. And that hurts the rest of the passing game. So really, the status and the productivity of the right tackle position, no matter who's there, one of the two young guys on the roster now or somebody else, is really going to depend a lot about how well they run the ball to the right.
So that was Trevor Maddich yesterday on Stillman & Company. And Joe, just listening to his comments yesterday, he was, I think, obviously more complimentary of Petit Frere than he was with Dylan Raidens yesterday. But the vibe I got from Trevor Maddich listening to him yesterday was, I think he feels like early on especially, Titans could be in a little bit of trouble at right tackle. There's going to be some growing pains with Petit Frere, and, you know, obviously this is going to be a team that runs the ball a lot anyway. It does not sound to me as though Trevor Maddich is very confident whatsoever in pass protection right now from that side of the line.
No, and is there someone that you're going to grab, Bobby Hart, whoever, maybe out there that you're going to be like, okay, we're good. Just here we go. We're ready to rock. I mean, Todd Downing and Keith Carter, they all know that whoever's there is going to be helping that person a ton in that game. And they're hoping against hope that Taylor Lewan looks like Taylor Lewan, number 77 on that field in that game, you know, so that they can function as an offense. I wanted to get real quick to Tyler, who says, guys, Robinson's an equal opportunity whiffer. He whiffed on an SEC tackle and an FCS tackle, but to be fair, he had a solid double with Nate Davis from the FCS. Technically, Charlotte is not FCS. Now, it is, you know, it's a lower level. They switched to FBS in 15, so his whole career was FBS football, not FCS, like Raiden's is FCS.
Right.
But to your point, it's still not that. It's not the SEC. And again, the problem with Isaiah Wilson in this discussion is that I don't think they whiffed on his off football traits.
We'll get Joe figured out here in just a second. He's got some Wi-Fi issues that are taking place. We're going to hit the break. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025, including some very interesting comments continuing to roll in on Ryan Tannehill thus far during Titans training camp. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexro. But let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel wants you to be ready for game day when college football kicks off this week. Right now, new customers can get $150 in free bets guaranteed for week one. Just place a $5 bet and you can get $150 in free bets, win or lose. Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii this week. I like Vanderbilt to win, start off the season 1-0. I think I'm taking Alabama for the futures bet on the national title, but you take it any way you want to take it. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. The app is so easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great odds, and when you win, you'll get paid quickly as well. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Sign up with promo code ROB and place a $5 bet to get $150 in free bets guaranteed to kick off the college football season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call a Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.